This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome in. Not a great first day for Jackson Churio and our Milwaukee Brewers, but it's only a raisin in the trail mix. There's still 161 to go. Bucks back home tonight against the Knicks. March Madness, Sweet 16 games last night. Alabama scored 7,000 points. Duke wasn't too far behind. That game this weekend might be first to 200. This is the Mason Crosby Show. My name's Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. And the kicker is here, Mason Crosby.
What's up? I got up, took kids to school, got a little workout in. I'm ready to roll. I was a little behind on the highlights. Y'all were, you know, catching me up with this Bulls-Lakers game last night.
Crazy.
Which was awesome.
Yep.
I like LeBron, but not always bad whenever you see someone, you know, just devastated whenever,
right.
Like,
listen,
someone hits
a half-court buzzer beater is a half-court buzzer beater, right?
That was amazing. And Lakers led by 18 at one point, but I honestly worry about that. Like, obviously with the Bucks, we don't have to worry about the Lakers, you know, playoffs wise right now, but it's like, I feel like something like that can spur on a Lakers team where it's like, all right, that was ridiculous. Like, they could be dangerous down the stretch here.
They could. We've got lots to get to today. We're going to talk about the Brewers. We're going to talk about the rule changes in the NFL. Certainly lots of March Madness to get to. Corey Linsley, one of our favorite offensive linemen of all time.
So good.
Right? Great teammate. Just a great guy.
Yeah, if you're listening right now.
You have so many great teammates, Mason.
go to his social media at Lindsley71.
Okay.
And just kind of look back on stuff. Yeah. So if you're listening, just get ready for this conversation. He basically posts only like parody stuff. Like, yeah, he loves posting things from The Onion, just anything that's just a spoof and can kind of troll somebody. So
nice. Love that.
That's kind of Corey's life.
On the line now, let's start things off with New York Yankees post-game host on The Fan at 6:60 a.m. in New York. He is Emmanuel Berbar. I'm going to get this wrong. My producer just told me how to pronounce it, but I'm going to get it wrong. Tommy just told me. Berbari, is that right?
Berbari, you got it.
Nice. Perfect. Emmanuel Berbari on our air. Follow him on Twitter at Berbari on air. B-E-R-B-A-R-I. On air. Emmanuel, welcome to the show. I guess you got one over on us yesterday.
One over. We'll see how the rest of the weekend unfolds. One over for now. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you jumping on, Emmanuel. I was looking at the stat line, and I my first question to you is, did the Yankees just bat better? Did they just hit better than the Brewers, or like, do you think the Brewers pitching was, you know, not as effective and good? So kind of what's your take from just looking kind of at the stat line from the game yesterday?
Good question when you frame it that way. I think it was a combination of both, but the Yankees, when you look at how they won this opening day game, Carlos Rodon pitched really, really well, and a lot went down front to back. And from a Yankee perspective, it was a nice, almost clean, tidy win before the ninth inning, where former Brewer Devin Williams kind of gave some Yankee fans heart palpitations, but it ended up getting the job done. It would have been a very complete win. It was a complete win, but that was the one trepidation in that ninth inning. But I boil it down to Rodon. He was awesome, 5 1/3. 7 strikeouts. The only 2 walks came in that final inning when Aaron Boone pulled him for Tim Hill. So he set the tone for that game. The Yankees got 2 solo shots in the first couple of innings from Volpe and Wells, who are going to be 2 of the guys who really make or break their season. So I thought it was Rodon setting that tone, and then everything else followed from there. So I look at the Yankee pitching more so than anything, because if they're going to pitch that way, I think more often than not, they'll find a way to score 3 or 4 runs and win the game.
Emmanuel, I was watching the game. Here's my shout-out. I was watching the game at Pickleball Kingdom, which is a brand-new indoor pickleball place here.
With my
best friend, Donald Driver. Donald Driver's one of the co-owners. And I did go 1-0 yesterday, and I might never play again. I might retire like 1-0 in my indoor pickleball career. But we, as the game got to the ninth inning, everybody kind of paused their games, and it was at the bar area. Everybody was watching that ninth inning, and it got crazy. And for the Brewers to have Churio and Yelich up with men on 2nd and 3rd, Churio with 1 out and Yelich with 2 out, as a Brewers fan, I would take that situation every game the rest of the year. Like, you tell me that ninth inning is going to go the way it's going to go leading up to Churio and Yelich, and I'll take that. And it just worked out for Devin Williams and the Yankees last night. But as that unfolded, what was your trepidation? What was your fear level knowing who was coming up for the Brewers?
Extremely high. I mean, those are 2 of the best hitters in baseball. They're the 2 hitters, outside of Contreras, of course, that you fear the most atop that Brewers order. And Yankee fans really haven't seen much of Devin Williams yet. They know how good he is as a closer, but that's his first appearance in the regular season at Yankee Stadium with his new team. So clearly he wasn't in the zone to start that inning. He was trying to figure things out, and the inning was spiraling out of control and away from him. So getting into that situation and getting into 2 full counts with Churio and Yelich, and the confidence level was very low. So the fact that he got the job done, obviously that's not going to be the case for Devin Williams throughout the season. He's going to have a lot of dominant outings for the Yankees. But the fact he wiggled out of that one, I think, is very encouraging, because it just as easily could have gone the other direction. So in the moment, I don't think anybody's confidence is very high. They were just kind of clutching and hoping that a couple moments later they'd come away with the victory.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. Who's on the mound for the Yankees tomorrow? Who y'all got starting?
Max Fried. So that'll be his first Yankee start after signing the 8-year deal this offseason. So a lot of a lot of good vibes and high expectations for Max Fried, and got a good pitching matchup too, because Fried and former Yankee Nestor Cortez came over to the Brewers in the Devin Williams trade.
Yeah, that should be a fun one. My wife's family is from Atlanta, and so they are huge Max Fried fans. Similar, you'll remember this name. They were huge Brian McCann fans, but then once somebody leaves the Braves and goes to the Yankees, I wouldn't say Max Fried is dead to them, but they're not exactly a fan of his anymore. But that's kind of the Yankee way, like that. And it's, you know, not to pick on the Yankees, because the Dodgers do it too, the Mets do it too, the Red Sox do it too. But we see that, and it's not like Atlanta's a small market, but we see some of these top players, when they're due for a payday, they end up with the Yankees or they end up with one of these other teams. What are the Yankees, you know, as they're trying to build and create culture, how does it work with that mixture of trying to get young guys, but also knowing you're relying on some of the top free agents?
Well, I think it's more of a mix now than people are maybe accustomed to, because a lot of people grew up thinking all the time, evil empire, big bad Yankees, and I still think that's the case to a high degree, because the Yankees are the most valuable team in the sport. They are the New York Yankees. That brand is undeniable. I just think you look at it, and they rely on very different ways to win at times, which is completely fine. Like, that should be in the model in today's day and age, where you can't just go out and buy every single free agent. You no longer have, you have financial might, but just because you're going to use it does not mean you're going to wind up with the free agent. The Yankees have, there's proof on the table the last few years that that doesn't always happen for a free agent they want. So now I just look at the mixture. They try to develop that culture and that foundation with their homegrown talent and supplement that homegrown talent. That's the way I look at this team. If they're going to succeed this year, a lot of it depends on the guys who have been coming up through the pipeline the last 2 years. Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, Rice. Judge is a homegrown talent, obviously, but it's been in the league since late 2016, early 2017. But he's a homegrown talent, too. So you're looking at, what, 70% of the lineup that came up through the Yankee farm system. And then a couple of the guys they brought in, whether middle of last year, Jazz Chisholm, or this offseason, Cody Bellinger, they're under the age of 30. So this is a young Yankee team. They supplement it with established guys like a Devin Williams, a Paul Goldschmidt, a Max Fried, et cetera, et cetera. But I look at this current iteration of the Yankees. It's not who's who of free agent that they brought in and paid money to. You can maybe say that about a couple past teams, even though the Yankees have always done a pretty good job of homegrown talent. But this team is really dependent on the culture the Yankees have developed from within.
I like that take. Yeah, for sure. We have Emmanuel Berbari from the New York Post game host on WFAN 660. You can find him at Berbari on air. He's joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. I have a question. We had a report on someone else from New York that was a Mets fan on the show a couple days ago, and you know, we asked him about the Juan Soto stuff. And so, like, I'd love to know your perspective of how you feel about Juan Soto going to the Mets, and you know, how that feel is from a Yankees perspective.
Yeah, it's funny. The most talked about thing this offseason, even though it happened very early in the offseason, continues to come up, and it's going to continue to be a storyline throughout the year, and depending on how Juan Soto fares throughout his Mets contract. But certainly when the Mets come to Yankee Stadium in May, will be some theater with Juan Soto coming back to Yankee Stadium as a New York Met. I think I always put it this way, if the Yankees had waited a month or two to make their first move after Juan Soto left, I think the feeling would have been very different. I think it would have lingered a very long time. I don't think the fans would have taken well to it at all. I still don't think any fan takes well to Juan Soto leaving for the Mets, no less. Not any team, but the Mets cross town. But it would have been a tough pill to swallow if the Yankees weren't, you know, quickly addressing their needs. But it was 2 days later. I think it was less than 48 hours later that the Yankees signed Max Fried to that 8-year contract. So the pivot began immediately. So it didn't take long for me to turn the page from that. I'm not sure how it'll feel, how it'll look when Juan Soto comes back. It'll just be strange. You know, it's right. Very strange. And it's not like this guy this is another thing I always come back to. It's not like this guy was here for 8 years. It would be a lot different if the Yankees lost somebody who came up through their system, became this budding superstar at that, and then bolted. He was there for a season. I understand it was an amazing season, and he basically hit the pennant-clinching home run. So he had iconic moment after iconic moment last year, but it was 1 year. So I think it's a little easier to turn the page off that than somebody who had been with you for the duration of his young career. So I look at those two things. I look at one season, it's much easier to move on from an emotional standpoint if you're a Yankee fan, and also the Yankees really quickly pivoted to plan B.
So from a Yankees perspective, you look at the Mets as like your little brother. Is that kind of how it is? And it's like, oh, man, okay. So we just took Juan Soto was there for a year, but, it's like, okay, they got one over on us. You know, your little brother gets you every once in a while, but
I
ultimately.
Like that one, by the way, they got Juan over us.
Nicely done.
It's very clever right there. But
exactly.
I don't look at it as little brother. A lot of people do. I don't look at it that way. I just think nothing's ever happened to this magnitude in New York in terms of a guy of this ilk. We're not talking about a middling
just a
free agent.
Big-time
We're not talking
player,
about,
yeah,
this is a generational talent who was a Yankee, and it wasn't like the Yankees were not trying their mightiest to retain him. They offered him $765 million.
Jeez.
So, like, it doesn't happen ever of this magnitude, somebody going cross town, but things are different now. We talked about financial will earlier. There are other teams, Mets led by Steve Cohen, that are going to spend whatever it takes when they want a free agent. So it's just a new world, but I don't look at it any differently than one team really wanted him. He was going to the highest bidder, and he went to the highest bidder. You could take all the teams out of it. He was going to the highest bidder, and the Mets were the highest bidder.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, when we were talking the other day, it's like it does feel also like cultural stuff. Like it feels like the Mets are trying to do a ton of like, you know, new age, like in-game experiences, like who knows what their clubhouse experience is, and like the stuff that they're doing for players. Obviously the Yankees, huge storyline. They took the beard rule out, for that they've had forever. So I'd love to hear your take on that. And like, why was that always a thing? And at this point, is it because of Devin Williams that they changed that rule, do you think? Because he demanded that, like, I like having a beard. I want to keep my beard, and if you don't at least adjust this rule, I might not be signing here.
I think this was talked about for years upon years, this long-standing tradition that the Yankees had, and clearly there was a certain level where the Yankees could go, a certain time where they could go, and then it had to be no longer. I think this is a brewing discussion, and I'd be curious if there was a player. I don't think it was anybody of major significance, but I'd be curious who it was over the last few years where the Yankees felt, hey, we may have, not that they were spurned by a player because of the beard policy, but maybe didn't feel like they got off on the best foot because of it. And I think the Yankees are looking at it as, okay, all long-standing traditions can be altered, especially if it's going to inhibit our ability from square one to go and get our guy that we want in free agency. Like, I take it's not exactly for this reason, but I take a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this offseason, who clearly would not give the Yankees any sort of preference. He's not a guy who has any sort of, you know, Yankee ties in the family. It's not like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is dying to be a Yankee, but he'd certainly consider them if all things were equal. But all things are not equal if you're going to tell him to chop off his beard. So I think I think the Yankees are looking at it that way. I'm not looking at this sort of policy change as anything that they weren't mulling over for years upon years upon years. I think it's just now, you mentioned a guy like Devin Williams, them wanting everyone to come here and be themselves, which the Yankees are always big on, but there are other ways to express yourself. It's not just your personality. You know, the way you present yourself is your personality in a lot of respects. So I think it's a multitude of different factors, but the Yankees were looking at it as they didn't want to be behind the eight ball on somebody they really wanted. I'd be really curious in the past if there was somebody who maybe they didn't start out on the right foot on, and that started to trigger this change.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's exactly kind of what I'm thinking. We have Emmanuel Berbari on the Mason Crosby Show. And, yeah, I just think it's like the players in most major sports leagues now are kind of, you know, they're okay saying my brand is important. This is something that, like, I, you know, that I'm known for, I'm recognized for. Like, I need this to, you know, stay a staple. And, you know, nothing against the Yankees organization. Like, obviously, one of the best organizations in sports and has, you know, done it so well for a long time. But it is kind of like you see that the Mets, the Dodgers, like all these teams, you know, just saying, like, come be who you are, build your brand, and that will help out our organization as well. And I think the Yankees, you know, somewhat similar to the Packers, have always been like, the Yankees brand is like, is the brand. If you want to play for us, you're going to do it this way. And I just don't think that players are willing to do that. Like, if somebody else is offering
not the way
them
they
a
used
similar
to.
Price. Yeah,
not, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting point about branding. I also think any fans who would complain on either side, like let's say you're an old school Yankee fan and this bothers you because it's the one of the factors that made the Yankees, right? Like this made them unique.
Yeah,
whether you agree with it or not,
yep.
Yeah, this made them stand out in a certain way among the rest of the sports world, not just baseball. If you're annoyed at it for that reason, that they got rid of it, or you thought, man, like, well, why haven't the Yankees adapted with the times? Why are they so old school? If you were in that camp as well, I think this should satisfy both camps because you're showing your fan base as an ownership group, as a front office, we are willing to do whatever it takes to win. Yeah, that's how I look at this.
For sure.
The Yankees got rid of a longstanding policy that was enacted by a legendary, you know, starting this ownership group, George Steinbrenner, the late George Steinbrenner,
yep.
And you're the son, you're Hal Steinbrenner, and you are constantly accused of, oh, he's not what his father was, he doesn't spend the way his father does, even though the Yankees, I laugh at that argument sometimes because they're always the top three payroll in baseball.
Exactly.
But you're always accused of that, and then you're supposed to go in the opposite direction of a long-standing, you know, proud tradition of we're the Yankees, we do things a certain way. And you go against that because you want any little edge to win in this day and age of baseball. It should show you that this ownership group, this front office, is willing to do whatever it takes. They will reconsider anything if it means, okay, we're going to get that little edge. It might be the difference in one free agent coming to us, one trade tilting in our direction and trying to win a World Series.
I love that. Yeah, so let's just we'll cap this off with just talking about this next matchup, you know, against the Yankees and Brewers. And someone that I was really excited about for the Brewers coming out of spring training is Vinny Capra. Had a great start, hit a home run in the game. You know, what when you look at this Brewers lineup from a Yankees perspective in this first series, you know, who are the players on the Brewers team that you know, stand out to you, and that you're kind of, you might, if you from a Brewers perspective, be excited about as the season gets started?
I mean, I would be extremely excited if you have a 21-year-old superstar in Jackson Churio.
Yeah.
I understand I might be prematurely labeling that, but the way he came up last year and performed at the age of 20, and the fact that I liked when we were in Milwaukee last year for Yankees Brewers, and Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, was asked about Jackson Churio, who wasn't hitting at that time. He wasn't hitting at all when he came up, and he said he's keeping him in the lineup no matter what. It shows you how highly they thought of him at the time. Was always a top prospect for them, a guy they viewed in that light, and then he took off and was a stud the rest of the season at the age of 20, and now at the age of 21, he's leading off. He has such high expectations for this season, rightfully so. He struck out 5 times yesterday, which I found really
crazy.
What an interesting way to start a season.
Yeah.
Like, he'll probably have a great year. I think Aaron Judge could have struck out 5 times yesterday, and he still would have had an awesome season. But I'm a big opening day guy. Like, you don't want to walk into your second game and see 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. I'm really excited about Churio. And he's a guy atop that Brewers order who, if I'm an opponent, I'm going to be, you know, having fits, having to face them all season.
And real quick, I don't know if you're a Knicks guy or not, but the Knicks are in town tonight. Are you a Knicks guy, and what do you think the Knicks can do this season? Can they match up with Boston or Cleveland in the playoffs?
I'm a huge Knicks guy, so I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's funny how perspective changes over time. If you told me a couple of years ago, hey, the Knicks are going to bring in Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns are going to win over 50 games and they're going to be a top three team in the Eastern Conference, they're going to be a top four record team in the NBA, would you be excited? I'd be like, oh my goodness, so what world are we living in? You added those two guys to Brunson and to Hart and to Ananobi. I would have been over the moon. The way this season has unfolded, for some reason, Knicks fans are not that excited right now because they are not in that same tier of a Boston or maybe even a Cleveland at times, or you go into the Western Conference, and they really haven't stacked up with those type of teams in Oklahoma City, if you will. So I think, based on matchups, they could still make a playoff run. But I think there is such a gap right now between who the Knicks are and who the, let's say, the Celtics are, that nothing's going to change until the Knicks close that gap. So I think there is a hard ceiling on this Knicks team, which is unfortunate. But hey, not everything is about, like, let's watch a game. Let's have some fun. Let's watch a season unfold. We don't have to, as a collective fan base, call it over right now. I just look at it as a very hard ceiling.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, Emmanuel Burbari, at Burbari on Air, really appreciate you jumping on the Mason Crosby Show. Yeah, love those perspectives. I love talking about, kind of that inside stuff of, like, you know, changing culture and, like, just doing little things that can, like, you know, continue to grow a legendary organization forward. So really appreciate you jumping on, and maybe we'll get you back on later in the year as the Brewers and Yankees, go at it again sometime.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Emmanuel. That's Emmanuel Burbari, host of the Yankees postgame show on WFAN 660 The Fan there in New York. Mason, when I was a high schooler, we should have told Emmanuel the story. When I was a high schooler in Milwaukee at Nicolet High School, I would listen to 660 The Fan on my radio. Like, I could get it. I knew if I got to 670, which I don't even know if it was the score then or whatever, but now it's the score, and it's our little sister station to the south, of course.
Yeah.
But if I could get to 670, the score, and just turn the dial a tiny bit. Like, it wasn't even digital. It was like one of those dials. Just a little bit. So during the football season, and Emmanuel would know Steve Summers. Steve Summers was there for like 30, 40 years. He was the voice of Sunday night. Like, after the football game, Steve Summers would host the show. Nice. I would call in. I'd be like Mitch from Milwaukee as like a 16, 17-year-old to talk about the Packers on the Sunday night NFL wrap-up show that they would run every week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So that, I mean, that station is one of the first ever sports radio stations in the country.
You're pretty old that you had a dial radio.
You know, I am pretty old, and I embrace it, and my body feels it, and my hair has no pigment left. And that's,
but you're 1-0 in pickleball with your best friend,
baby.
Donald Driver.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's right. I didn't play again. Donald didn't play till later, so I didn't actually play. But I feel like I could take Donald Driver at pickleball.
Okay, I saw Tommy wants to say something about how old Mitch is. I see him.
Oh,
like,
boy, here
he
we go.
He like set up like in the screen.
Tommy,
say something, Tommy.
Oh, by the way, this is super host, the veteran of the show, man. Tommy Wirtz. One show down.
Yeah,
he is
lead up.
It's just now my joke's not going to be funny. I was making a joke where it was like, Donald Driver's my second favorite Don behind Don Hutson.
Back in my day, whenever I used to watch,
we used to hold up the grandkids to get signal on the TV.
That's still funny. It's still funny. All right, you guys got me.
That was perfect. It was still funny, Tommy. Good job.
Yeah, nicely done. All right, so thank you to Emmanuel Burbari jumping on and talking some. And it was interesting. You know, you asked him, and I think you asked him a lot of in-depth questions, but one of the kind of like just like whatever questions you asked him was like, who's pitching for the Yankees tomorrow? Because as of yesterday, they didn't have a listed starter,
which was
kind of weird.
And I didn't look at it on the app, and then, I saw it, but I just wanted to,
And Max Fried is like, I mean, they signed an eight-year, bazillion-dollar contract. Yeah. He's been an all-star. He's
good
really
second
good.
Second-day starter,
for sure. So let's get a little bit more into the Brewers, talk about how we felt they represented themselves on national TV yesterday. Any other things we gleaned from watching the game, from looking at the box score? We know it's just one raisin in the trail mix, so we're not going to overreact, but we're going to overreact.
There's
going to
be some
Friday
reactions, because I have some thoughts about that. The front part of that batting order. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just laid an egg yesterday. So
it really did.
So let's talk about that.
Some great March Madness action last night. Bucks Knicks last night and tonight. Bucks and Knicks tonight. Corey Linsley will join the show around 10:20, and of course, we will head off into the weekend with Mason's Extra Points. He's Mason. I'm Thunder. It's the Mason Crosby Show. 12:50 a.m. 105.7 FM. The Fan. Our studios are powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and Tommy Wirtz, the star, is here.
It's Friday.